Welcome. This is Wish Upon a Star. My name is Andell Banks, and I'm your host. Wish Upon a Star is an exciting program that showcases up-and-coming stars in the musical, visual, performing, creative, and literary arts arenas. We will discuss with professional guests about songwriting, entertainment law, literary careers, copywriting, and other topics of importance in these highly competitive industries. We will also be introducing from time to time a program segment called Twinkling Star. This segment highlights those dynamic careers behind the scene of the arts, but nonetheless extremely important in the scheme of the final presentation. The most flexible out-of-the-box career is the entertainment genre. This industry explodes with the newest, healthy, and versatile beauty trends. On this Twinkling Star segment, we will explore the cosmetology aspect of natural hairstyling, the no use of harmful chemicals, no matter the texture of the hair. A leading example of this healthy beauty trend is Lupita Nyong'o, the 2014 Most Beautiful Woman. To give us the specifics on accomplishing this transition is our guest today, Jacqueline Williams. Miss Williams is the owner and stylist of Soul Tress Hair Studios. She is a 23-year-old African-American living in Baltimore, Maryland. Jacqueline is a licensed cosmetologist and has always had a passion for doing hair. She has always had a tremendous amount of hair. So it started as a curiosity to take care of her own hair, which in later years led to a challenge of styling all types and textures of natural hair. Welcome to the show, Jacqueline.
Yes, how you doing? Hello, Ms.
Just
Andell.
Just fine. Okay, we're going to get started, and our listeners will probably like to know, can you tell us, when you were young, how did hiding combs in the sofa get you started in hairstyling?
When I was younger, I always had a lot of hair, and I remember... I remember actually hiding combs everywhere, like in the sofa, because, you know, I was scared to get my hair done. I was scared to get a comb. So I would hide the combs. Obviously, my mom found them. But once again, like I said, I've always had a passion for doing hair. It did start off as a curiosity, and then seeing all the people around me, you know, doing hair and experiencing having a lot of hair as a little girl, I had to pay attention to my texture, which was actually like a 4C and very dense. And I remember getting kitty relaxers. I was about 6 years old, and getting the kitty relaxers, that was a challenge, and it showed me that I could find ways to do my own hair. I'm sorry, you guys, I'm a little nervous. But so I had Barbies and different things that taught, you know, and then I looked around and looked at the people doing hair and other cosmetologists, and then I taught myself how to braid, and somehow on the circumference of my little doll's head. I would do a little braid style, maybe like a ponytail, or some French braids and little up styles and things. And I remember asking my mom if I could do my own hair. And so that actually, I guess, you know, got me actually starting to do hair. So I would do my ponytails for school, and then my mom, she would let me do that. Then I would, once again, when I seen stuff, I would go and repeat it somewhere else, like on myself. And then I started on my sister. I was actually like in foster care for a period of my life. That was awesome because there was a lot of people around, a lot of females and even males around that I was able to experience on, I guess you could say. The people actually were not able to come in and do hair regularly. They would come like once a month. So people, you know, obviously there was a lot of lacking in the community, I guess you could say. So people were always sent to me, you know, to do hair. And so they that was great. Plus I got to be around people, which was great too, which is what something else I also enjoy about my career. You know, let's see. I remember like in the 90s, I don't know if you guys remember, I saw many variations of styles, braids, twists, some of the stuff that they're doing now, actually. They say, you know, time does repeat itself. If you find, like, a lot of things are coming back now with the natural hair and the natural styling, I guess you could say trending. The beehives, the French froze, the waterfalls, to name a few. Let's see. Hold on. Well, after all those years of doing hair and stuff, obviously I had to figure out, through high school, I had to figure out if I wanted to make it something long-term, a career, or if I wanted to stop, you know, because I was doing it a lot. So I decided to actually enroll, after I finished at Willona, I decided to enroll at Medics, which is now actually Fortis Institute, but I enrolled for the cosmetology program, which was like an advanced program, was a year. Usually the programs are about 2 years because I wasn't actually able to take the programs in high school. So they do have like the vocational programs in high school where you can, you know, take it so that when you're out of high school, you can always have a trade. So I went to Medics for a year. I completed, went to, you know, took my state boards, got my cosmetology license. That was in 2008. I am 23, so, and then I had my daughter, she's 4, but I decided, you know, I found some salon to work at. You know, I've been at a few salons in Baltimore. It was nice to, you know, get you used to the business aspect and working with different people and things like that, so that's great. So now I'm actually at 5471 Baltimore National Pike. My salon is called Soul Tress Hair Studios. I specialize in natural hair because I am natural, but that's not the only thing I do. I am versatile. I used to get relaxers. I've only been natural for about almost 5 years now. It's been a road to go. It's fun. I embrace it now. Do I want to go back to chemicals? Probably not. It is tempting because I am in this environment. So it's like, you know, cosmetologists usually always change their hair and things like that, whether it's color or chemicals like that. But I don't see myself actually going back to doing relaxers for myself. And I see in my clients, you know, a lot of them have went natural with the 4 years I've had my clients for about 4 years. So a lot of them have went natural, I say about 90%. And they actually like it better. It's tough for some people. And once, like, I don't pressure it for people, but obviously since I'm natural, I guess they feel more comfortable to go natural because that's, you know, my specialty. So, but I even do relaxing, hey, things like that. And yes.
Okay, yeah, we've got several questions, so
right.
I want you to take a little breath between between them. So
okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, so we've got about 10 or 11 questions that I'm sure our listeners definitely want to get a little associated with, because like you said, the trend is now going back to natural hair.
Right, it is.
I understood exactly what you're saying, how you went to school and how you found out you liked it so much. But my other question might be is, did you ever consider another career path? And what were some of the interests in this field that made you know exactly for certain that this is what you wanted to do?
Yes. I have liked other things, like cooking. I actually decided not to go down that path. But I do it at home with my daughter and stuff like that on the weekend, especially because I'm off. I'll be able to actually sit down and create a meal plan. Then I also love singing. So I sing here and there, but never wanted to make it like a big career. So my focus has actually been, for the time being, and probably for a long time, cosmetology. Because I also love it because I can do different things. So I've done, you know, makeup for like performing theaters and things of that nature, or like makeup and hair, and for some photographers. So I do enjoy doing that. Like with beauty, the beauty industry, there's a lot of different things that I could, and I love meeting new people, so different things that I can get into. Like I love doing makeup and eyebrows also as well. So it's not just hair. I actually am a cosmetologist, so I enjoy doing color on hair and things of that nature. So let's see.
Well, I understand that because it all does blend together, like I was saying in the introduction. When we look at the stars on either television or in the movies, they have to start from the top of the head all the way down. So when they do the eyebrows and the lashes and the makeup, you have to have all of that. So you're in the right actual category where you need to all that to do in the beauty entertainment.
Right.
Now, natural hairstyling, Jacqueline, has always been around, but not entirely the norm as we witness it by all the reality show females with the long locks, designer runways, hair flowing, wind blowing, waist length extensions craze. What made you decide to transition to natural hair?
I transitioned for many reasons. Boredom, I guess, being one. I was tired of the roller set and getting relaxes and being afraid to grow my hair out. I believe I was very afraid to grow my hair out. But I would always go to the beautician and I would always ask them, you know, because I would always go for my relaxer. I never really particularly care for putting them in myself because I like them to be done accurately and for my trims. But I would always go to the beautician and I would ask them what they thought my texture was going to be. And I would always be scared. Then for a period of time, I believe like when I was about 13, I went a long time without a relaxer for about a year, maybe. It didn't get that much. But one time when I washed my hair, it seemed to lock up. And I was afraid. I didn't have the tools also, like the different types of combs and the different conditioners that they have now to support me, obviously, in my trying to get my hair away from the chemicals. But now they do have all that available, so it was easier about 5 years ago. And then on the internet, there's different, you know, sites and people, obviously, who've been natural for years and who offer advice and things of that nature. And just also with me being a cosmetologist and doing my hair, I eventually got used to, like, tackling detangling and things of that nature and handling a lot of hair. So when I was pregnant and I was in school, I just finally was like, you know, I'm not going to get a relaxer. So I decided not to get one. That took about, let's see, I did not get a relaxer for about a year and a half, and then I did my big chop. My hair was about shoulder length, and then it was an afro, so, but it was nice. It wasn't hard. I flat ironed it sometimes. Sometimes I would braid it. I would always make sure I conditioned it and things of that nature and just keep it up so that it wouldn't be, like, frayed and you know, just hard to comb after, like, keeping it out for so long. So I finally went natural. I enjoyed it. It was different. I found that people reacted differently to it, and even my reactions were different to it. So I also, my mom, she also had a lot of hair, and I've seen pictures of her when she was younger. That's another thing that made me want to go natural. I was like, you know, it was kind of like an identity thing. So I was like, you know, it doesn't feel the same with the straight hair. And once again, the reactions are different. So sometimes the reactions were positive. A lot of times they were positive. I got a lot of compliments from men and women and Caucasians and African Americans. But then I also got a lot of some backlash, you know what I mean? But it was okay. But it was a thing that I feel like I had to get comfortable. And I feel like a lot of people for natural, it's something that you have to want to do. So it was something that I eventually wanted to do for myself. And just realizing that, once again, chemicals, like, some people, okay, may need relaxers with very, very, very coarse hair. But I found that most people did not, especially with doing a lot of hair, I found that most people don't really need a chemical. And if they do, it doesn't need to be that strong. Especially nowadays, because we have so many things on our side, like blow dryers and different types of serums and things of that nature to help us with growing our hair out. It's also healthier, obviously. The sodium hydroxide from the relaxers, they do take off a layer of your scalp because they, like, burn, and they break down the hair. So after doing, like, I have my clients that I still do relaxers on, and then I have ones that have gone natural, but they still may suffer from some relaxers or some type of accident from years ago. So pretty much what I'm saying is, like, relaxers can cause, obviously, damage to the scalp, even for future years. But, you know, everybody is different, so your reaction and my reaction is different. Your hair may not break down as fast as mine does, or, you know. But even after years of people getting relaxed, it seems like eventually you're going to reach a point where it's very thin. It's, like, really brittle, dry, breakage. Eventually you're going to want to go natural. So I just explain that to my clients, and, you know, so it's like, why not do it now and learn to embrace it and take care of it so that you can edit. So, let's see. I love being natural. Hey. Now I'm able to I'm able to do different styles. The versatility is there. Like, although people feel like just because your hair is relaxed, I mean, or natural, you can't get it straight or it's not going to be straight. But once again, there are techniques and different ways to keep it straight. There are, like, the keratin treatments and just different types of serums to fix the cuticle so that your hair doesn't get affected by the humidity. But there, you can do the upstyles also as well. The upstyles are great. And it would be just as if you got a relaxer. Like, the versatility of a relax, of going natural, is there. You can do all the styles. You can get your hair pressed out. You'll have the plus, the healthiness of it, because you're not breaking it down with the sodium hydroxide. It'll even be more healthier, because even you can, you'll have a more range of getting different type of colors. If you want to get that platinum, you know what I mean? Your hair would be healthier to sustain that platinum versus you getting a platinum color, which is the very highest, lightest blonde. And on top of a relaxer, you're definitely going to get breakage. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of pluses. And if you just had to embrace it, I've embraced it. And once again, it's not something that's, like, forced on people. It's something you want to do. So that's it. Yeah.
Right. I think you have the right concept and the right theory, because one first has to have the knowledge and also correcting their identity. That's how it first starts. You got that knowledge of what your texture was, and that's why you transitioned. Can you give our listeners some basic advice who might be considering transitioning to natural hair care?
Well, I feel like the first thing is do some research. You know what I mean? Right. If you haven't done, I'm pretty sure people have done research. To get you familiar with what you may be about to be dealing with, what you are dealing with, some things that you can read. And also, do some research if you feel like it's a thing that you'll have to be dealing with. Maybe it's work. Maybe you feel like you can't go to work with natural hair because you work in, I guess, you know, a business office or corporate America, you know. So you may not feel comfortable. So, but once again, like, there are things out there, there are styles out there that are even for you, so that you can still wear your hair natural and feel comfortable. But so you can do research. You can, let's see. When you do your research, or when I'm telling you what I'm telling you to do, you have to think about, okay, the different things you have to think of is obviously the work. If you're going to be going to the gym, you feel like, okay, it's going to be sweating out. Once again, there are different ways to tackle that. And also, another thing, that's funny that I'm talking about this, but people do feel like their hair has to be really, really straight when they go to the gym or whatever. I feel like even if you do go natural, yes, you can expect some frizzage, because a lot of people want the hair to be bone straight or stay straight for the whole 5 weeks or however long. But I feel like even accepting that, I don't know if you are familiar with this, Ms. Andel, but a lot of my clients do sometimes, you know, they do want their hair to stay extremely straight. So I feel like with being natural, you have to embrace the fact that sometimes it's not going to stay extremely straight, but that's okay. And even still, it's still a beautiful style. Like, sometimes when my hair looks the oldest, that's when I get the most compliments. And so that's a different thing. If you're transitioning or you want to transition, some things to look at, some ways to transition would be protective styling, finding the right products and oils for your hair. There are a lot of things out there, natural. Obviously, no, with all the different things we're learning with this high-tech technology, you're finding that, like, all the products and the parabens and in the products and the mineral oils that are actually, that we were using for years, that are actually harmful to our hair. Like, for instance, mineral oil, because it coats the hair, it doesn't really, like, penetrate, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not really a moisturizer, it's more of a coater. That's it in a lot of products. So you want to look at your products and make sure that it's not junk. You want to make sure what you're putting in your hair is good for your hair, because your hair will act better for you. We want to get shampoos that are not as alcohol, that doesn't have as much alcohol, alcohol-free shampoos. Let's see. And silicone. Now, silicone is good if you want to get your hair straightened, but a lot of products do have silicone, which is a type of plastic, which, if you think about it, it coats your hair. There are a lot of things on the internet as well that I feel like, since I am a cosmetologist and I've been seeing a lot of hair and I've tried different things and I've seen how things work, and sometimes they don't work. There's, like, the co-washing. I know this is a trend, but I know people do that, and I've done it before. I used to do it for a while. And I got clients that do it. I meet people that do it. So, and it's, I feel like that's one thing that's not always good. Like, co-washing, which is a form of washing your hair, per se, with conditioner, but it's like a shampoo and conditioner. But, like, I feel like that's not always good, because you need to get the buildup off your hair. So after a while of washing your hair with conditioner and your scalp, you know, it creates a buildup. And so we have to learn our hair, our specific types of hair. That's another thing that I realized working and doing hair. I found that a lot of people have scalp disorders, seborrheic dermatitis, and eczema and dandruff. And those things come from different things. They could come from chemicals being used, or even keeping your hair in too long, like with the tracks and that, you know, people can also grow mold and mildew. from lack of maintenance. So we want to make sure, you know, like we maintain, keep, you know, clean scalps and find different ways to, also that's, they also come from like hormonal imbalances too. But like seborrheic dermatitis, different scalp issues can lead to alopecia, which we know is, you know, the loss of hair or the hair turned into vellus hair, which is like the thin hair. So we want to avoid this. So once again, like with the products, we want to find the right products, not a lack of alcohol, keep our hair in protective styles, different types of twists and braids, even pin curls. I feel like curling is best more than straight because it keeps the ends bent, which is more protected, where when your hair is straight all the time, it just sprays and it snags on everything, you know. So just be my, you know, make sure you tie your hair up, get a bookie, you know, satin caps and some good oils to use, you know, if you don't want to, which I suggest you just get the oils instead of going to the Chinese store and getting the oils from them. You can get some castor oil, which is good for your hair. It's good for your scalp. And I believe it helps hair grow because I use it. So, and my clients, their hair grows. So, let's see. Different things. Tea tree oil is good. I use that for a lot of my clients that do. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm a cosmetologist, but I do use a lot of natural products. And a lot of my clients do go to the a lot of my clients go to the dermatologist, like, for the dandruff, and they prescribe them, like, the ketoconazole or the and sometimes it doesn't always work, you know what I mean? But once again, sometimes it works for some clients, but it doesn't work for everything. But sometimes when you go to the dermatologist, they're going to prescribe the same thing to everybody, you know what I mean? So, and then I also actually do a lot of specializing in, like hiding, still being able to style your hair even if your hair is thinning. So, like, I have a lot of clients that are severely thin in the top, and they do, like, the, you know, they still are able to style their hair. Like, there's different ways to style your hair. So just, like, find a stylist or come visit us at Soul Trust Hair Studios on 5471 Baltimore National Pike.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a little break, Jacqueline, so you can go get a drink.
Okay.
That was extremely...
Okay.
Informative. So we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. First of all, I would like for you to please tell friends to listen to Wish Upon a Star Wednesday biweekly at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on bbsradio.com Station 2. Today, on our Twinkling Star segment, we have owner and hairstylist, Ms. Jacqueline Williams. Welcome back, Jacqueline.
Yes, hello. Hello, everyone.
Okay, we're going to continue with our questioning, and we have several little other questions here that might be very, very informative, as you have already stated, with your last question about research, knowing what type of hair texture you have. I think that is good for most people, not just for natural hairstyling, because as you said, there are certain diseases that you can get in your scalp. I know there was a star on one of the television shows that tried to tell people by her having a black dye in her hair all the time, it swelled her face up. So that is something that is extremely important, just like you said. To continue with our hairstyling segment of appearances, are there some known or unknown preconceptions associated with wearing of different natural hairstyles that might need to be addressed as it relates to our cultural diversity society?
Yes, I believe so to some extent. Now I've been wearing my hair natural for about 5 years, once again. In the beginning, I remember, because now, like, natural hair is really, like, a big trend now, so it's a lot of froze out. But when I first came, like when I first came natural, like in the Baltimore area, it was just like a lot of people didn't react to it as well. sometimes, like, I would walk down the street and somebody would, like, yell out the window, you know what I mean, negative, like, get your hair done. Now, I, once again, I got a lot of compliments. And when I did wear my hair, I always, you know, made sure I looked well and, you know, had my earrings on and things of that nature. So there was some negativity. It was even more than that. But I'm not going to go any further. But then a lot of people, they really, you know, would be like, you know, why don't you get your hair done, or, you know, when are you going to change that style or whatever, you know, even though I do a lot of different things. But when it was like in an afro natural state, sometimes that's what I would get. But one time I was, before I actually really started stably working in a salon, when I was working out of my house, I actually got a job for Cirque du Soleil. And that was an experience, because that was when I really, really first started wearing my afro, and I really had to get comfortable with it, because I got a lot of stares, once again. But it was nice, because I went there, and I really didn't have time to do my hair, and I was like, okay, I wonder if I'm going to be able to get the job. So I actually did get the job. It wasn't a problem. They actually didn't say anything about my hair. They were actually French-Canadian, and the staff was French-Canadian, and if you know about anything about Cirque du Soleil, a lot of people come from, you know, different states and even, like, different countries to see this performance. And it was good to see a lot of people actually, like, honest for me to, like, actually be okay with being natural, because I feel like we are in, like, our own little world, and we don't see everything as a whole, if you understand what I'm saying. So in our heads, we don't feel comfortable with it, because what you see on, like, TV and on the music videos, or just what you see everywhere at that time, you know, hair was always straight, and or the weaves and everything. So then there was, like, do black guys like hair over like straight hair over natural hair. One morning my dad was like, Jackie, come here, you know. Anytime there's something about hair on TV, he's always telling me to come here. So, and on Fox 45, there was like a panel of judges, and they were like all black men, and they asked them, you know, what did they think about natural hair? Now, I'm not going to talk about Fox 45, but like the panel, I feel like it was kind of misguided. Like it wasn't a good judge to me. I feel like a lot of black men do like natural hair. I've got a lot of compliments, and a lot of other natural people and their husbands, sometimes they had to get used to it, but I feel like sometimes it's just the woman. You have to do it and stop thinking about, like, you know, what everybody else is thinking, you know what I mean? Or, yeah, you know, just do what you want to do. Don't do it because somebody else wants to, or you feel comfortable being, I don't know. So I had to get used to that. If like, when I get my hair straight, because I get it straight about 4 times a year. I trim my ends more than that, but like I trim them, so I really, you know, like to get it straight to trim them so it can be nice and even. And people, a lot of people say, you know, I really like it better this way, you know. But with the afro, I like it better because it's my hair. I feel like, why should I have to, like, let's see, every other race goes out the door. They don't go through all the craziness of, let me do my hair and this and that style, like African-Americans do. So why should I stress myself to the extreme to go through? Now, if I detangle my hair, you know what I mean, that's enough. So I should be able to go out the door, detangle my hair, and go out the door like every other race does. You know, that's how I view it now. So just because it's not straight or in some pins or pinned up and it's let out, like every other race, I'm wrong, or I'm not, you know, I don't really agree with that now. So I feel like that is a issue. But that's why it shouldn't even matter, because at the day, it shouldn't matter what, you know. What anybody
okay,
else
so what
thinks,
you're
so.
Saying is that really anybody who is different regardless of whether it's hair care, the way you dress, I like to dress a certain way. And everybody says, you know, some people are positive, or some people say, well, why are you all dressed up all the time? But it's the way I present myself. So to me, it seems that there's an emotion involved. So what emotions does a person need to embrace? Because men have natural hair as well. I've seen a lot of men with the locks that come all the way down to their waist. I got to say, some look great, some of them look bad, but you have to take care of it. What kind of emotions do you need to embrace the benefit of transitioning to natural hair? I mean, mentally, number one, and physically, like you said, you want to dress the part if you're going to wear natural hair.
Right. Well, here's how I feel, how I honestly really feel about it. Okay. So the emotion, I feel like it does take some emotion. And I feel like patience and self-love, love, really.
Exactly.
Because you need love. You need love to not judge anyone else, you know. And also you need love for yourself and self-esteem. And so I guess it's a different lot of things. So to not put yourself on a pedestal above anyone else. And recognizing that you never know, obviously, what someone else is, what their journey is or what their views are by just judging or what they could become. So that's what I feel like it is emotionally. That's what it takes. Through my journey of being natural, was it an emotional journey? I believe yes. And I had to get used to it. I had to grow to really accept myself because I did wear my hair like in a little blown out fro when I used to get relaxers, like a blown out one. It was like straight like Tina Turner. But that's not the same as, you know, the more textured, you know, nail that it is now. So I had to just love myself, and I'm still growing to love myself, so that it wouldn't bother me how everybody else felt or their insecurities about what I decide. And so I feel like that goes for everybody. And just also just knowing what your purpose is, I guess. You can't, when you look in the mirror, like for me, when my hair is straight, you know, it doesn't feel the same because it's like, this is not me. You know what I mean? I'm honestly to me looking like a white woman. So, or, you know, sometimes. So, but I'm not looking at it exactly that way. It's not like a gender thing. But once again, if they can wear their hair in their natural texture, why can't I? You know, just comfortably. And like for a lot of guys with the locks and everything, that's great. I know that's a lot of things trending. Now, I do see that natural hair is a trend, actually. So, but I feel like it's a trend now, but it opened the doors for a lot of people to understand what actually being natural, like actually natural, is all about. Even the doors to even just leading a healthier lifestyle, period, not only in hair, but in food. I love cooking. I'm not actually like a vegetarian, but I never really ate a lot of meat. But just learning about natural hair also opened the doors. Like I learned about a lot of holistic medicine. I met a lot of people who were actually into natural healing, which is not just with, you know, your hair, obviously, with your body and your organs and your reproductive system. So not only do we need to look in the mirror at our hair, we need to look in the mirror at our spirituality, our mentality, and, you know, all of that. So I don't know. And I you do need love for that, I believe. So
right. We've just piggybacked on what you just said, how the media portrays natural hair, like all of the reality shows, regardless of the race. None of them go towards the hair, but you've already touched on this, hairstyling, beauty, natural hairstyling. It's just not something that is embraced by the media. Again, what do you think about that? Is that because it's a cultural, let's put a line right down the middle as you're not beautiful if you have natural hair, but if you have, I've noticed that a lot of newscasters have that blonde hair and that long black hair. Do you think they're saying this is not what we want to show?
They're saying that we don't want you. I mean, on to the way I look at it, they're saying, I mean, they have embraced natural hair more. Okay, I'm going to say that. Because you do see a lot of curly hair. Now, that's another thing. You see a lot of really curly hair.
Right.
You have all the products that help define the curl. So you can be natural, but still try to make it defined as possible. And curly, I don't know, and silky looking as possible. You know what I mean? So there's that, too. But as far as, like, once again, when I live in Baltimore, so, and I live in the city right now, but I've lived in the city, I've lived in the county, but, like, that's the issue, you know what I mean? I feel like, because a lot of black females look in the mirror, and they do not feel beautiful, you know what I mean, because of all the pressure of looking like something that we're not, that, you know what I mean, the light skin. Oh, and it's sad that we are in 2014. Like, my, once again, oh, my daughter, she's 4. She's very aware of her texture. And I don't want to say that it has anything to do with me being natural, because I don't walk around with, like, you know, a shirt on and, like, natural. Like, I'm not like that. So, but she's aware of her texture. She's aware of her complexion. So, like, it's been times where she came to me, or she said that other lighter, light-skinned little kids or even grown-ups, she's like, they're white, you know what I mean? Or she just little things that, you know, mommy, I know I'm dark-skinned and I don't feel pretty, you know what I mean? Or my hair is not long and beautiful, and so I don't feel, you know, they. And I'm like, as a 4-year-old, you shouldn't be having these insecurities, you know what I mean? So, it's a lot of that, there's a lot of pressure, subliminal pressure that I feel is out there that people don't realize. So I believe the best way to, you know, is start with us, you know what I mean? Start and accepting ourselves so that we can be, you know, so our children can grow up and be comfortable with what they are, no matter what the media portrays, you know what I mean? No matter what the trend is going, you know, as long as you're accepting you. So it's a lot of energy that goes into that. On the, oh, goodness, I know people love, what is it, like the housewives and stuff like that. Like, but as a 23-year-old African-American, I don't know. I just feel like it's just not the healthiest for the young girls, because they already acting, you know, crazy. And then the long tracks, like, down to you. But I mean, everybody looks the same. Everybody looks, but the good thing about natural is, and if you accept, you know what I mean, accept being natural, like, I find a lot of natural looks different. We can have all different types of afros, all different types of lengths and, you know, textures. There's so many different types. Like, once again, like, a lot of my clients, they be like, I didn't even know. They're 40 years old, 45 years old, 30 years, different ages, like, never experience their own texture, and they're like, I didn't even know what my texture was all these years, you know what I mean? Or all these years I went through all this, I put myself through this all these years just for me to just come right back to this. So once again, like, even though the door, the media, it's been open, you know, it's a trend, but it's been open, and a lot of people have gained a lot of women have gained a lot, and men, you know what I mean, on accepting the natural, accepting themselves, and, you know, that's, so.
You're right, and I like the point that you made, that we must start telling our young children, as, like you said, 4 years old, and I can identify with that, because a tear almost came into my eye, because I've experienced that with one of my grandchildren, where they asked me a question that almost broke my heart. But because she's loved and was smart, she understood that this is some of the differences in life. So that was a very good point that we must tell our young people. There have been studies how some African Americans at a young age would prefer a white doll instead of a black. And I know you've heard of that particular test that they did. on that psychological aspect of do I love me? What I wanted to say too, Jacqueline, there are some natural hairstyling looks that I've seen, especially among my friends, that are absolutely beautiful. Can you give some names for these styles?
Yes. Well, let's see, some names. Well, there are different types of twists. They're the different types of the Senegalese twist and nails everybody's the Marley twist. They're good transitioning styles because you're able to, you know, keep your hair protected if you're going to the gym or if you're going swimming. Obviously, the summer's about to end, but even for next year. They're the different types of up styles, twists and braids. It's so many different coils, locks, French rolls, and let's see, obviously there you can get, you can weave too, you know, that's a natural style, you know what I mean? Now, once again, it's like, do you have to, for me, I'm a stylist, I do everything, you know, I feel like I just do, I want to do what's best for the client. I specialize in healthy hair care. So whatever is good for your hair, for it to get to what you want it to be, whether long, you know, and just as healthy as it can possibly be. So I do weaves, and I feel like you should want to look like how you want to look, you know, make your own looks. You know, sometimes it may be, you know, you might be scared to step out of the box, but there are different styles. Like for me, when people sit in my chair, I may not have the style right offhand, but I kind of like just go with the flow. Or they just be like, Jackie, just give me something of this nature. You know what I mean? You can twist it up so many different types of ways with the twist and making it to the fullness that you want. And you can experience with color and even, you know, additional color so that you don't mess up your hair. Instead of coloring hair, you can, you know, obviously add colored pieces. But let's see. So the coils, and if you want locks, you know, there are locks and different ways to lock hair. Even if you are Caucasian, you know, the different types of locking of hair and everything. So, and let's see. People think that you can have a shortcut with natural hair. I have a lot of natural clients that have shortcuts in season five. Some people that are natural still want their hair straight. I have a lot of natural clients that still, you know, wear their hair straight, and they have highlights and feathered wraps, you know what I mean? So just knowing that the versatility is there, people just need to educate themselves and other stylists, and they're finding natural stylists that specialize, you know what I mean? Or, so they're the two-strand twist that come in different variations and sizes and rods or spiral sets and flexi rods. I like the two-strand twist because you could even do it wet or dry. Then you can take it out and wear it curly. And it depends on, you know, the size of it. And play with it after, you know, you'll start to understand your texture and what it takes to get the look that you want to achieve. So this is a lot, pretty much all the styles that you can get with chemicals, if not more. So,
Yeah. All right, we're going to take another little break, and we will be right back. Welcome back. This is Ann Dell, your host of Wish Upon a Star. Please tell friends to listen every Wednesday biweekly at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on bbsradio.com, Station 2. We also ask that you have any comments or suggestions. Please send an email to musicradio34@gmail.com. Again, for comments and suggestions to Wish Upon a Star, send an email to musicradio34@gmail.com. We're going to continue with our guest today, Ms. Jacqueline Williams, owner and stylist of Soul Tress Hair Studio.
Hello.
Yes. Another question I wanted to ask you was, how young or old shall be before they begin to encompass the natural look? Like the braiding, I've seen a lot of young kids, to clarify that, I've seen a y'all of young kids who have corn rolls and braids, and it looks so tight.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, number one, here's what, since you talked about natural, I'm going to say, how young should a child be for you to relax? I got a relaxer when I was six. I feel like a lot of times, even when people get relaxers later on, it changes, or texturizer. Sometimes the texture might not be the same afterwards. So you just got to be careful giving, number one, a child any type of chemical, because their hair, I would say to about six, really, or seven, or even eight, because they're still growing. And children, they actually have, like, vellus hair. Like, their hair hasn't became terminal yet, so it hasn't became coarse like the adult hair, kind of like they get their second set of teeth. So they have baby teeth, and then it's the same thing with hair, or, you know, it goes through puberty. So when a lot of people do a lot of the braiding styles, I don't feel like it's bad, okay? So I do braid hair, but I feel like the way sometimes is bad. So if the braids are extremely tight, yes, or if the braids are really little, you know what I mean? Different things, like, sometimes little braids, you know, and just because it's in for a long time. I know a lot of people keep their hair in for over a month. That's good. Okay, sometimes, but not all the time, not every month, you know what I mean? And especially not for a child, because, you know, it locks up, it tangles up. The small braids cause a lot of breakage. A lot of people don't take braids out properly or condition the hair properly before they apply braids, so we want to make sure we are doing that before we even put braids in our hair, because it still causes breakage, and making sure they're not extremely tight. And also heat training, okay? A lot of people do heat training as natural. That's fine, you know. You can heat train your hair, but we don't need excessive amounts of heat, especially for, like, a child's hair, because it can cause damage. And making sure that the heat is not held to their scalps, because that causes damage also. With me doing hair, I've met people, I have clients who have experienced burns, and that turned into scars, that turned into scar tissue. So the hair no longer grows there, because the hair can't grow out of scar tissue. And that was actually from, you know, like a lot of the Dominican shops. I have about four clients that have scalp damage from the blow dryers being held, you know, at their scalps too long. You know what I mean? And the thing about that is that can actually spread that scar tissue. I don't know how this seems like it spreads. It starts from alopecia. So if there's a baldness there, it's going to stress the hair around it, so it spreads. So we just want to make sure we give our child, you know what I mean, take care of their hair, make sure we do it regularly, shampoo it. Shampooing is good. Like, that's another thing with hair, you know what I mean? Or just for your hair to grow, it doesn't need to be in for months, you know what I mean? A lot of times you need stimulation. So if you are not stimulating and getting the blood flow to the scalp, then, of course, it's not going to be doing anything, you know what I mean? And you need to exfoliate the scalp, just like you would exfoliate your face or the dead skin cells off your legs or whatever, you know what I mean? So you have to get the buildup off. So that's it's the same thing with kids. So you just got to be careful with the hair, because the hair is not as strong as ours is as an adult. The pressure, I remember... I'm going to say real quick, like, with my daughter when she was younger, I didn't braid her hair too much before the age of two, because her hair was really soft. And with a couple times of braiding it, I didn't braid it as much and as tight, because, it pulled out and it caused, like, a little ball spot. So it was just, like, her hair was just too soft, so... It's, you know, it's bandanas out there and little headbands you can do, and comb it, do little twists. You know what I mean? I prefer twists over braids, especially for healthy hair and growing out hair for kids and for adults. So go ahead.
Oh, great. Jacqueline, thank you for an absolutely informative show about the hairstylist. Give us again the name of your studio and the address where people can actually get in touch with you.
Yes. The name is called Soultress Hair Studios, S-O-U-L-T-R-E-S-S Hair Studios, and we are located at 5471 Baltimore National Pike in Suite 57. The number you can reach us at is 443-447-7630. I also have three other stylists in the salon specializing in, you know, weaves and color, also lock extensions, and kid styling and wedding styles, eyebrow waxing. So we are a nice salon, peaceful environment, and we love people, we love styling, and give us a call, stop by. And also www.soultress.com/soultress, and also on FB, so on Facebook.
All right, thank you. Again, we really appreciate your support, Jacqueline, and I'll be talking to you later.
All right, thank you, Ms. Andel, everyone else. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Wish Upon a Star. This segment was Twinkling Star, and we hope you enjoyed it. For any comments or suggestions, please send it to email musicradio34@gmail.com. This is Andel, your host, and Denise Banks, our coordinator, saying keep reaching for the stars. If you've missed any of the programs, you can listen to all the previous guest interviews at your leisure by clicking the archive button on our website, bbsradio.com/station2, with all our love and joy. Have a great weekend.